Nation. This is Boomer Vision coming to you from the Republic Broadcasting Network, Boomer Vision, a subsidiary of National Bugle Radio, broadcasting out of beautiful downtown Burbank. You boomers, you should get that reference. You really should. It is Boomer Vision. We are on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send shekels.
Ow! We went on that road!
And then go to nationalbugle.com. Nationalbugle.com, where our shadow is not taller than our soul, where we have the co-certified app, and where our non-kosher certified lifestyle is taller than our soul. It is. Because you want your soul back. You don't want to be paying that kosher tax, what's called the kosher tax, because these people, kosher certification is not free. They're paying, the Nabisco and all these other companies are paying for it. Nabisco doesn't exist anymore, but they're a subsidiary of something, probably RGA, or probably Reynolds, or whatever it is. They're a subsidiary of something, and they pay these rabbis to come and do their magic and kosher certify things, and then they pass on that magic money. Expense gets passed on to you. The shekels get passed on to the rabbis, who then pass it on to Israel and to who knows what else. Joe Biden says that, if it wasn't for these people, we wouldn't have gay marriage. Thank you. Thank you, Jews. That's what Joe Biden said. It's a direct quote. Apparently, also, in Joe Biden news, there are reports now that he used the N-word in public speeches back in his early career. I think that was something that Sean Hannity reported, but it's something that's going around. Oh, my goodness. As if we thought that old Joe Biden wouldn't be enough of a gaffe machine. Here's young Joe Biden. Joe Biden of half a century ago. Okay, so let us start off with Sean Hannity and his discovery of horrible racist remarks from Joe Biden. All right, he refers to, remarks at the City Club of Cleveland. Biden, then a newly elected 30-year-old senator from Delaware, responded to a question from a male attendee who asked whether Southern senators are warmer now towards the problems of the Negro in America. During his response, Biden praised then-South Carolina Democratic Senator Fritz Hollings. Some of you might remember him. He actually ran for president, 1984, I think. In 76, I think it was. A one-time opponent of racial segregation as a very, very, I think, moral guy who at least takes a moderate position on civil rights issues. He goes on, I think the two-party system, although my Democratic colleagues won't like me saying this, I think the two-party system is good for the South and good for the Negro and good for the black in the South. Biden added, I don't know why he's distinguishing between the Negro and the black in the South, but who knows. Other than the fact that they still call me boy, I think they've changed their minds a little bit. Okay, so that is, according to Sean Hannity, why Joe Biden is way more racist than Sean Hannity is. I mean, Sean Hannity would never say, he finds this offensive because Negro is the other N-word. That's what he says. I don't want to say the word, Hannity said. It's offensive to me. So, yeah, in my imagination, Hannity told his listeners, I think if this was Donald Trump on tape, it would be a big deal. The host criticized Biden for his use of the word Negro, which Hannity referred to as the other N-word. Now, of course, this is from 1970, if you recall. Oh, no. I guess this is from 73. So 5 years earlier, that was when Martin Luther King, the founder of modern America, was shot. And of course, Martin Luther King always said Negro. He almost never said black. He always said Negro. So whatever. But we do have tape of Joe Biden using the N-word. Mr. T, do you have that tape ready?
unerring precision slices through the city's traditional subunit, the ward, in a racially selective manner, leaving intact predominantly white wards while carving up those densely populated by blacks. As the governor, the court concludes, quote, the governor's opposition to the Nunes plan was predicated in significant part on his delineation of a majority black district centered in Orleans Parish. In a confidential portions of your staff memo, they brought to your attention the allegation that important legislators in defeating the Nunes plan in the basement said, quote, we already have a
N-word.
Nigger mayor, we don't need any more nigger.
N-word.
Your big shots. And the court cited evidence of discriminatory intent on the part of other legislators, including the representative who testified at the court hearing.
Okay, Mr. D, that's enough. That's enough. All right. So, this is going to be the new scandal. This is the new gaffe. I have to admit, I thought when Joe Biden referred to God or the Creator as, you know, that thing, you know, I thought that was pretty good. He's simply reading from something he's actually criticizing. But this is the absolute state of Sean Hannity. So Sean Hannity is the ultimate anti-racist because he's criticizing a 35-year-old recording of Joe Biden reading from some Louisiana legislator or politician's quote using the N-word, and he's reading from it in some sort of Senate hearing, and therefore he's insensitive, or he used the Negro word only 5 years after the death of Martin Luther King. Was it too soon? By the way, for those of you who want to say that Joe Biden's gaffes are some sort of boomer thing, Joe Biden is not a boomer. Boomers were invented back in 1946, right? The baby boom started when the World War II troops were demobilized and they went back home. The Depression was over, although you did get kind of a secondary recession for a while, but they started having babies, and so you had a baby boom starting in 1946, right? Just as they're being demobilized and coming home, and then it takes 9 months. So if you get from VE Day in May 45 and VJ Day in August 45, add 9 months, you're getting to 1946. And you had a baby boom, and it continued until... You know, it's a little bit subjective, a little bit arbitrary, but usually until 1964 is when they say it. So 46 to 64. Biden was born in 42, so he's not a boomer. Now, Trump, George W. Bush, and Clinton, all three of them were born in 1946. So they are boomers. But once you get older than Trump, you're not talking boomer anymore. You were talking proto-boomer! Yes, the proto-boomer. This is something that I want all the young people to learn, because I've heard all sorts of people referred to as boomers. People who are the boomer's parents' age referred to as boomer. Get your meme right, all right? So Biden's not a boomer. And Bloomberg wasn't a boomer. And what's the other guy's name? Bernie Sanders. Not boomer. Not a boomer. These are proto-boomers. They're before the boomers. Just like the proto-Indo-European was before Indo-European. It's what happens before. So they were proto-boomers. And does it matter? Yeah, it matters. Okay, well, next I'd like to shift my boomer attention away from Sean Hannity, that show for the Jews, to some real Jews, and a guy who's an odd character, John Batchelor. I do keep an eye on his show. I like it. Used to be every Tuesday night around, I don't know, 9-10 p.m. he'd have on Professor Stephen F. Cohen to talk about Russia, which was really, really good and worthwhile. Used to be every week. Now it only seems to be like once or twice a month. It's becoming fewer and farther between. Of course, Stephen F. Cohen's in his early 80s now, and who knows? Although he seems pretty robust, in good shape. John Batzler, who's in his 70s, maybe not as robust. He seems like he's having some health issues, some voice issues. But anyway, I want to play this clip. This is John Batzler, who's a goy. He's actually a goy. He's got some sort of Middle Eastern ancestry somewhere along the line, but I think he's also a like an ordained minister or something. He's some sort of Protestant of some sort. But he has on a regular person he has on his show all the time, a fixture, is Malcolm Honlein of the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. Oh, God. Anyway, so Honlein is a fixture on this show. He's on all the time. And in this particular segment, they bring on one Richard Goldberg, who is a senior advisor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. And they're going to be talking about, Iran. What's going on in Iran with not SARS, not Ebola. What do they have there? They've got the coronavirus. How, what a coincidence, Goy. What a coincidence that all of a sudden the coronavirus goes over there. Well, let's have a listen. Mr. T?
I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein. We go immediately to Richard Goldberg, senior advisor at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Richard, the reporting I have from my colleague Ahmad Obali, who speaks with call-ins to his show in Chicago from the northwest Iran, is that the hospitals are empty of supplies, that people stay home when they're ill or think they're ill, the bazaars are sparsely populated, and the people of northwest Iran, the Azeris, feel abandoned by city center. I mention that just to make sure. Is that information you have from the whole of the country, that they feel abandoned?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt about it. The people of Iran have been let down by their government many times before. This may be one of the most incredible times where the incompetence, the corruption, the sheer inability to respond in a crisis with this sort of closed, centralized government that has no idea what it's doing really impacts the people. And we're seeing reports as early as 2 hours ago that it has spread throughout the country. We know it's spread throughout the leadership of the regime as well. There are senior members of the regime who have already died.
What a coincidence.
And of course, that they have it. And you have to believe that if there are people around the supreme leader who is a cancer patient, already immunocompromised, I'm sure they're worried about him too.
And 12 members of the parliament, I think, have already died from the disease.
So it didn't start in the hospital.
It's far more widespread, and you know that they have militiamen in the hospital to prevent nurses and doctors from reporting the reality of the situation, and they try to dampen it down.
And it's all because the Iranians are so incompetent.
But how do you think that in terms of the long run now for Iran, the low voting turnout, the failure to respond properly to the virus, and seemingly not making any progress in Iraq and elsewhere in replacing Soleimani, does this really paint a picture that could lead the people to finally take action?
I mean, you would hope so. It has to affect people, not just on the street.
Does this lead to
people on the street to know what they're finally going to do? They would love to see a different government, but they also see what happens when they go into the street and get mowed down by the IRGC and the besieged forces, which is why you have never seen the change that we all hoped for. My question is really, what about in that mid-level of the regime, the people who actually are the enforcers, the people given the orders to go to the streets and kill, do they start internalizing just how incompetent, morally and ideologically bankrupt the people they're working for are?
Morally bankrupt. Not like
really
Israel.
Keeping into that mid-level that you need to persuade in order to see some sort of change happen in Iran in the future.
A puzzle for the United States. We are enforcing severe sanctions in a crisis such as the coronavirus. Is there conversation about some kind of demonstration of mercy or rescue for the people who are not in charge of the policy we're punishing?
So there is. Secretary Pompeo and his team have announced that the U.S. stands ready to send assistance, people, goods, supplies,
good people.
Technical assistance.
We're not morally bankrupt.
The regime has said that they do not want anything from the United States in response. But they are, of course, taking assistance that we are helping fund through the World Health Organization. And so there is some sort of indirect assistance going on that they won't acknowledge. But it's also very important to realize that what's happening in Iran is not because of our sanctions. It really has nothing to do with our sanctions. They had access to all kinds of goods throughout the maximum pressure campaign for their healthcare system. This is much like what we saw in China, but on steroids. When you have a closed government with no transparency, no communication, no competency in these core areas, and something like this happens, we start to realize that these kind of regimes are not just dangerous to us because of their militaries and their nuclear weapons programs and these sort of things. They're also dangerous to us from things we would never have imagined, like pandemics. And so when we have a foreign policy and we think about closed nations, these sort of autocratic governments, whether it's in China,
when you hear this guy talking, that idea of this being a bioweapon,
imperative that we enforce transparency measures,
become plausible,
and have just simple ways of doing business throughout the world. Otherwise, these sorts of threats come back home to our shores to roost.
So let me turn to another front we have with Iran. We have many, unfortunately, and that is in regard to the announcements that they have made, further indicating their violations of the JCPOA, and now the first public comment by the leader of the IAEA, Grassi, that that they are in violation, criticizing them for not allowing access to various sites. Is it possible that they've reached weapon grade level? Do you see this as triggering UN snapback sanctions?
As if Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons. Today?
Well, there's two very big developments here, and Senator Risch is exactly right. We do need to move towards snapback, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the Iranian regime has now enriched enough uranium to be able to produce one nuclear weapon. If they took that low-enriched uranium stockpile and enriched it further to weapons grade, they haven't done that yet, obviously, but they're amassing the stockpile. They're reducing the time it would take, the so-called breakout timeline, by having that much uranium, and they're still producing every day now. And so that's one thing that's going on, and it reminds us one of the gravest mistakes of the Iran nuclear deal. We talk about sunsets, we talk about not covering missiles and terrorism. Those are all big problems. The biggest fundamental flaw of the Iran nuclear deal was allowing Iran to keep its enrichment capabilities intact because they can do what they're doing now at any time of their choosing, and they're choosing to do it now. The other thing that they've reported from the IAEA, and this is really startling, and it goes way beyond the JCPOA to the core obligations that every nation has under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, is that apparently Iran is hiding, concealing, undeclared nuclear material and undeclared nuclear sites. And when the IAEA asked Iran to open up and allow its inspectors to go into multiple sites that they wanted to verify and take samples at, Iran said no. That is a violation of their safeguards agreement with the IAEA, a violation of the additional protocol that they've adopted and are temporarily implementing under the JCPOA, and it is a violation of the NPT itself. There's nothing
the NPT,
brave
the Nuclear in the Nonproliferation
system
Treaty,
of nonproliferation.
Which Israel never
the
signed.
Nonproliferation treaty. And so,
so
now
the chutzpah of this guy
Pompeo,
invoking the nuclear nonproliferation treaty, which Israel's not
all
party
over
to,
our friends
and
in
which
Europe,
the parties
President Macron,
like the United
Merkel,
States and France
Prime Minister
Johnson, are in violation by assisting Israel's
so
nuclear program, if they have.
Campaign.
Okay,
enough of this
guy. We'll be right back.
There needs to be accountability. There needs to be snapback of all the UN sanctions because...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Boomer Vision, and you know, I'm doing some, it's Friday, so I do some things. I do some stuff that I don't always do, and I play some clips from here and there. Now, there's somebody that you all are familiar with, and that is my regular Monday guest, Mark Collett. Monday is not Boomer Vision. It's not the Patrick and Jeremy show. It is the, we don't have a formal name to it yet, but it's the day that Mark Collett always joins the show. He does that on Monday. On Wednesday, he always has the Patriotic Weekly Review. Is that what it's called? The Patriotic Weekly Review. And that is on Wednesdays. It's a two-hour show. I used to do that, but because I'm just not free during those hours anymore, I had to stop a couple of months ago. And then on Fridays, he releases a video, which, you know, it's scripted, it's narrated, he does a narration, and there's some images. It's on YouTube, and you might want to watch it on YouTube. The one he released today, on it's on the journalists faking footage and photographs to make these migrants from, you know, who came in many cases a few years ago from Eritrea and Afghanistan and Bangladesh and elsewhere to Turkey, hoping to get into Europe. And they've been hanging out in Turkey, washing dishes and whatnot. But now, because of the brutal civil war in Idlib province of Syria, they're using this as a pretext to Zerg rush the Greek border and try to get into Greek islands of Lesbos, or there is a land border between Turkey and Greece as well. And the media is playing, not just playing right along with it, but they're orchestrating a lot of this. And you have to remember that the media has more, it's not just that the media shills for the powers that be. The media is one of the powers that be. And you can think back to when Judith Miller, the Jewish reporter for the New York Times, when she was embedded. Because remember, do you remember during the Iraq War, you had all these embedded journalists? And Judith Miller, as an embedded journalist, was, I don't know if you could actually say she was ordering the army officers where to go, but she was suggesting where they should go, and they would go there. So basically, I mean, she's driving the story. She was driving events. And of course, she was one of the people who had lied about the weapons of mass destruction, one of the main people, and her newspaper was the main news source responsible for the lies that brought us into that war. And I've often, I think on my last Boomer Vision, I was commenting on how the PBS NewsHour, for instance, on a daily basis, has sob stories about migrants. And I think last night their sob story was, children who are, they had Amna Nawaz, who is a Pakistani lady who isn't hideous looking like most of their the women on the show, but she had gone and she was interviewing families who had been separated at the border for longer than necessary. And it's a couple of days ago, they had their Nick Schifrin, who's their young Jewish international correspondent. And he was talking about, you know, the Syrian civil war and the situation in Greece. But here we have Mark Collett, and you're going to hear from him. It'll be right after the break. But you're going to hear from him how that the journalists are actually faking shots. They're faking video. They're orchestrating. When I say faking, I mean they're orchestrating it so that they can get good sob stories to their listeners. And it's a shame that our people are so gullible for this type of thing. But, you know, we're a sympathetic people. And you see other people in plight, and nobody does the math. They just get an emotional response. Nobody does the math that, you know, Europe is the smallest continent, right? And Europe, Western Europe, Europe outside of Russia, is about the size of India and has fewer people. And if you're going to let the entire Indian subcontinent, the entire Middle East and Africa, if they're going to have freedom to come across the border, if Latin America is going to have freedom to come across the Rio Grande, do the math. And of course, you don't even have to do the math anymore. You just have to look out the window. It's hard to find a place in the United States where you don't see Central Americans just walking around playing soccer at night. And the Central Americans are not even as problematic as the Muslims and Africans coming into Europe. But we'll be right back, and I'll play that clip for you.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we are right back, and without further ado, this is Mark Collett's viral video released just hours ago, just this morning, hours ago. It's already got 13,000 views and about 800 comments. And here we go.
By now, you've most likely heard the news. Turkey, a nation that is host to around 3.7 million so-called refugees from Syria, as well as migrants from other countries such as Afghanistan, has now started giving those migrants the green light to leave Turkey for greener pastures. And as a result, Greece is now under siege as millions of migrants attempt to breach the Greek border and make their way into Europe. And you've seen the images, the heartbreaking pictures of crying children, the images of men and women crawling ashore and throwing their arms up into the air as they thank whichever god they pray to that they washed up safely in Europe. And the mainstream media are loving it. And as such, the press and the media have used images of these scenes to ramp up their campaign of emotional blackmail in an attempt to make every single European feel sympathy for these migrants. And let's have a look at some of the headlines and images being pushed out by the mainstream media. Let's have a look at how bad things are. We'll start with a so-called right-wing tabloid, the Daily Mail. Here's the headline, and I quote, "President Erdogan says millions of migrants will head to Europe and the continent must share the migrant burden after opening Turkey's borders, as Greeks say they fear invasion," end quote. And the images used to illustrate this article are close-up shots of migrants reaching European shores on little dinghies. Women and children are pictured on a pebble beach. There are also pictures of children crying, barbed wire fences, and refugees making their way down dirt paths. Despite the Daily Mail's credentials as an anti-immigration newspaper, all of the images that the Daily Mail have used appear to have been carefully curated to make you feel sympathy for these so-called refugees. You are meant to feel sorry for the migrants, and this sympathy is meant to soften your attitude toward them and their alleged plight. The Guardian, an openly left-wing publication, ran with the following headline, and I quote, "Refugees arrive on Lesbos as Turkey opens border," end quote. The video footage accompanying the article shows a migrant boat arriving on a pebble beach, and as migrants crawl up the beach, they cry tears of joy and throw their hands into the air as they praise their chosen deity. Despite The Guardian having a different political slant to the Daily Mail, the tone of the imagery used by both publications is strikingly similar, as are the closely cropped images. But let's look at one more publication, the Middle Eastern Eye, a foreign publication. I'll read you the headline, and I quote, "Refugee boats leaving Turkey for Greece attacked at sea," end quote. But again, the images used by this publication are the same. The pebble beach, the very closely cropped pictures, the crying children, the migrants rejoicing as they are washed ashore. That's three very different publications, all with different headlines. But each publication chose to use the same emotionally charged, closely cropped images that all solicit feelings of sympathy for these so-called refugees. And these images, or ones like them, that feature either migrants looking from behind barbed wire fences, migrants washing up on pebble beaches, or children crying, are featured in almost every single publication the world over that has reported on this issue. Just do a Google image search or check your news feed. The same images are used regardless of the supposed political slant of the publication and regardless of where the publication originates from. From Al Jazeera to the BBC and from CNN to the Telegraph, it's all the same. It's almost like there's some form of concerted effort across the media to push a particular narrative on this issue. A narrative intended to make those in the West feel sympathy for those attempting to enter Europe illegally. But what if I told you that those images were all contrived, that those images were all set up and posed, and that those posing in the images were encouraged to do so by the journalists photographing them? Well, take a look at this short clip. There's that pebble beach, and you can see the same shot as before, just taken from a wider angle. And as the camera zooms out, as the whole picture becomes clear, you can see journalists helping migrants to pose and directing them to act in a certain manner so that the journalists can capture the most tear-jerking and emotionally charged images. But it doesn't end there. Take a look at this other short clip. Here you can see migrants holding their own children over smoking fires in order to make them cry. Again, journalists are on hand to capture the images of scared mothers and fathers clutching their weeping children to their breasts. But the truth of how the images of crying children are captured is very different to the media's official narrative. The images that are meant to guilt-trip those in the West into accepting that millions of migrants should be allowed to flood into Europe are not captured on the spur of the moment, but are instead carefully composed, choreographed, and edited in order to ensure the maximum emotional impact. And let's take a look at one last clip.
And you'll just have to go to Mark Collett's channel to see that video, Mark Collett's YouTube channel.
And here we see footage of migrants behind barbed wire fences. But when this footage is actually shown as moving film, rather than as a still image, it's clear to see that those men aren't stood stoically praying to be let in and begging to be given a chance. Those men are throwing rocks, making lewd gestures, and attempting to force their way through fences at the border. That's three totally different pieces of footage, each taken at a different time and in a different place. And each of these pieces of footage tells a very different story to the still images that the press and the media have produced and chosen to use when illustrating their articles about the migrants trying to illegally enter Greece. The truth is that the press and the media are faking images in order to try and manipulate the feelings of those within Western nations. That is the real story here. Millions of migrants are trying to enter Europe illegally, and the press and the media are engaged in a conspiracy to present the public with faked and misleading images in order to solicit feelings of sympathy amongst those of European descent. The media's dishonest propaganda campaign is being carried out in order to soften attitudes towards migrants. And this isn't a case of only left-wing or liberal news outlets pushing this fake news. Even so-called right-wing papers are in on the plan and are using the same faked pictures. Those running the press and the media want to see those of European descent replaced in their ancestral homelands. But more so, those running the press and the media are willing to lie and peddle fake images in order to guilt-trip those of European descent into accepting their own replacement. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the message by liking and sharing it on social networks. If you want to hear more from me, please hit the subscribe button as new videos are posted every week. You can also read my book, The Fall of Western Man. It's available as a free ebook and in both hardback and paperback, and all the links are in the description below. Finally, if you want to join in the discussion with me, feel free to add me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Also, you can now follow me on Gab, Minds, and BitChute as well. Everyone's welcome.
Okay, that was our own Mark Collett. He's doing great, great work. We're doing great work. Mark Dankoff is doing great work. Jeremy from Kentucky is doing great work. We've got a lot of great affiliates here. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. I'm going to start promoting him more because he does great stuff. David Duke, Stormfront, RBN, and we've got Farron Schoaf on Saturdays, John Statmiller. We've got so much stuff here on RBN and on the greater alt politics boomerplex. That's what I'm calling it, the alt politics boomerplex, alternative politics boomerplex. I know Mark Collett and Jeremy from Kentucky aren't exactly boomers. Are they honorary boomers? I don't know. And one other person who does great work when we catch up with them is Richard Sloan. And for the rest of the show, I'm going to, this will be a walk down memory lane. A year ago, we did the Goyim's Choice Awards, and we are going to do another second annual Goyim's Choice Awards. And we're scheming that up as you sit here and listen. We're scheming up the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards. But if you missed the first annual Goyim's Choice Awards, you're in luck. Here is an excerpt from it. Okay, next category is Best Parody Song Video. And the entries are Everybody Wants Jews by Philbert Applebaum.
What's that a parody of?
Billy Squire.
Okay.
Everybody Wants You. And the thing is, none of the other songs had videos with them. So the winner is Filbert Applebag. Filbert, come on up and get your way.
Oh, man, he was fixed.
This wasn't fixed.
Conveniently, Filbert Applebag happens to be in the audience.
Well, because he wanted to get some FaceTime with Vladimir Putin, who's also in the audience.
Okay, well, maybe they're not fixed, but it seems like a big coincidence.
No, he didn't get Best Parody Song.
Oh, okay, that's right. He only got Best Parody Song Video.
That's right. Because he made the video. Filbert,
wow.
Come on up.
I would like to thank my dog, who sits in the studio and listens to the songs over and over and over again with my other family members, and mainly my fans, all for the fans. I'd also like to thank all my former recording partners, Duff McKagan, Juice Newton, and Andrew Ridgely. You know who he is?
Nope.
He's the other guy from Wham.
Oh, the straight one.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I've got a question here. I'm not sure if I can read all three of the nominees, but the question is, who is the most horrendous Goyim Me Too perpetrator?
Oh, my God.
And the first nominee is Harvey Weinstein. I know how to pronounce his name.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you say Goyim?
I don't know. I didn't write the question.
Okay.
Maybe some of the plants that he Me Too'd with were Goyim? I don't know.
I think the fight is pretty Goyim, don't you?
Okay, well, that's how Harvey Weinstein slipped in, I guess.
Okay.
And then the next nominee is Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer, who's probably got a lot of lawyers, but there again, he is half Jewish.
Okay, well,
it could have been, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to get too graphic, but, you know, if he Me Too'd himself, he could be like, he's Jewish half Me Too'ing this boy half.
Well, this third nominee sounds like a hippie to me. The guy's name is Les Moonbeam. Or wait a minute, that's Les Moonbeam.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask Larry Davis on this one. Larry David, Jew or not a Jew?
Is that a serious question? Of course he's a Jew.
Well, Larry David's a Jew, but is Les Moonbeam a Jew?
Oh, I see. We're going to ask him if Les Moonbeam's a Jew.
Come on up, Larry David. Larry David, everyone. Jew or not a Jew? All these guys with their Me Toos and all, Jew or not Jews?
A lot of sexual harassment stuff in the news of late, and I couldn't help but notice a very disturbing pattern emerging, which is that the predators are Jews. Jews are in the headlines for notorious reasons. Weinstein took it out!
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I think we're ready for the winner.
Okay. And it looks like the winner is Larry Moonbeam.
Lester? Leslie?
Lester?
Whatever. Speaking of Me Tooing, do you think Kamala Harris or Kirsten Gillibrand are Jewish?
There's something in the Kamala Harris circle that's Jewish. I can't remember what. Isn't she married to a Jew?
She is married to a Jew. Now, that's very recent that she was married to a Jew. But you see, back in the 1980s, one or the other of them totally me-tooed me. It's like, came up to me at Donna Summer concert and it was all like, hey, sailor, want a good time? And I just thought, what does that even mean? And Sugar Ray Leonard was there, and he had his bodyguards, and, you know, they saw the whole thing. And, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, you think he'd be taller. But he saw the whole thing. And I'm going to be hiring a Jewish psychiatrist who is going to help me recover these memories because of all the trauma and everything. But accusers, victims, must be believed.
Well, Freud said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, you know.
Did he say that?
Yes.
But that's because he smoked cigars.
Yes.
He smoked cigars to the extent that he lost the upper plate of his mouth, and so his oral cavity was connected to his nasal cavity. Pretty gross stuff. Do you have another category for us?
I've got a category here. I'm not sure if I have the nominees. I think some of the nominees may be at your end. But biggest coincidence. I can read the first nominee right here. It's Larry Silverman. He's the gentleman that bought the Twin Towers in New York just before the infamous terrorist attack and insured them both for a ton of money and was able to collect twice from the insurance companies because each of the planes hitting each of the towers counted as a separate terrorist incident. Okay. For some reason, he never insured Building 7. We don't know why.
He didn't insure Building 7?
What was Building 7 anyway? It was a building, right?
It was a building. It was on the World Trade Center campus.
And I don't think he got hit by a plane, but didn't it somehow fall down?
It fell down. There was debris.
Oh, okay. You got to be careful.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Because I don't think we've got any big media companies owned by anybody named Cohen, do we?
No, you've got.
And you know, like everybody's always talking about how Jewish CNN is, but Don Lemon, that guy's black.
Well, of course, you do have Jewish ownership or editorial control over the New York Times and the Washington Post and CBS, NBC, CNN, ABC, all the major media conglomerates, except maybe Fox, which is just as Zionist as the rest of them. But you know the law professor at Harvard, Alan Dershowitz, and this is what he writes in the Jerusalem Post.
It is true that Jewish families have ownership interests in the New York Times and other newspapers, but those newspapers don't promote Jewish control of the world. Indeed, they are often at odds with Jewish public opinion. The same is true of Wall Street, Hollywood, and academia, where individual Jews hold diverse opinions on issues of Jewish concern. So there you go. There's nothing to see here. It's just a big coincidence.
We've got Larry Silverman, we've got Jared Kushner, and we've got...
The Jews who own the media.
Yes. Those are the three nominees for biggest coincidence. And I believe you've got the envelope that contains the winner at your end there?
Yes, I do. And the biggest coincidence is... The Jews who own the media. Come on.
Wow.
Come on down.
That's a lot of them.
Oh, my God. That's why Co-Certified had to build a giant amphitheater.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I think that is the end of our show.
Wow, I can't wait for next year.
I can't wait for next year also.
Oh, wait a minute. What was this show... by some organization or some product?
Co-Certified. Co-Certified is totally the sponsor of this show. And Co-Certified, in fact, because we couldn't find a place big enough to fit all the Jews who run the media into it. We tried to get the Rose Bowl, but it only has, 70,000 seats? So we had the good people at Co-Certified build a massive amphitheater. Big enough to fit all of the Jews who run the media. And
that's fantastic.
It is.
Now, I understood that Co-Certify is an app you can download on your Android. What about if you've got an iPhone?
If you have an iPhone, the...
Tim Cook is gay, by the way.
Yeah! And it's funny that Tim Cook, being gay, would be trying to screw Co-Certify. Because Co-Certify is not gay. It's totally not gay.
Oh.
And yet, Tim Cook is trying to screw Co-Certified by taking them off the Apple Store.
So what do you do if you got an iPhone and you want this wonderful Co-Certify app?
Well, you can always go to thekosherquestion.com, thekosherquestion.com, or go to nationalbugle.com and click on the Co-Certified link, and it will tell you what to do. And there is a new online version of the Co-Certified app that you can use if you can't get support for your iPhone Co-Certified app.
I think if you're gay, you can get some support from Apple on their site. I think they've got a whole forum for people who are gay and need support.
Do they?
No, I guess not.
I think if you're gay, Tim Cook will give you support. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure to be here on the first annual Whiteys, and hope to see you all again next year. If we don't get Show It before then.
Thank you so much, Professor Sloan, and we'll be back again next year with another exciting Ladies Award, the Golden Choice, sponsored by Tinker.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.